I'm going to start this on a really high note here.
Uh-huh.
If I die before you do,
promise
me you won't leave anything weird at my grave.
Oh, I can do that.
Thank
That's
you.
No problem. Yeah. Well, how early is too early for Christmas music?
Christmas Eve.
That's too early. Well, then you're really not going to like this one story that we've got.
All right. And when I say Iron Man, what do you think of?
Like Tony Stark Iron Man?
No, and not Black Sabbath
not
Iron
Black
Man.
Not Black Sabbath. That
either.
Would be my next guess.
Florida has an Iron Man of its own that I'm
going
to tell you about.
All that and more coming up on this week's episode of the Florida Freak Show.
Hurry, hurry, hurry. Ladies and gents, boys and girls, step right up for the Florida Freak Show.
Welcome back to the Florida Freak Show. I'm Corey O'Donnell.
And I'm Kirsten O'Donnell.
And if you've ever read a Florida news story online or seen a Sunshine State newscast, you know that Florida's greatest export are weird stories about the people who live and play here. And we have a few of those, don't we, Kirsten?
We absolutely do.
Oh, good.
It's like you knew.
It's like I knew.
But first, I want to start with a little shameless plug.
Shameless plug.
Starting this week, we need your help. And I don't mean you, Corey. I mean you, the podcast,
the audience.
Yeah. We need your help to pick the freakiest Florida news stories of 2020.
Yes.
And you can do that by visiting our Facebook page at facebook.com/FLA Freak Show. We're going to post the strangest stories for every month this year, and we need your votes to help us pick the freakiest for our year-end show.
Help us out, people.
But on to the headlines.
On to those headlines.
Our first one comes to us from clickorlando.com. A Florida woman was concerned that items kept disappearing from her fiancé's gravesite, so she called Fruitland Park Police Department. Among other things, sunglasses, 2 wedding invitations, string lights, a ring, artificial flowers, 6 snapdragon plants, and a sugar skull had all disappeared from the grave.
Wow.
And the woman was pretty sure who had taken all that stuff. Ronnie Lee Kimberlin, her fiancé's ex-wife.
Dun, dun, dun.
So for what it's worth, Kimberlin laughed off the accusation. But when more items were stolen, Kimberlin's roommate came forward and said that she was indeed the culprit. She had destroyed some of the items, given a few of the things away to friends and family, and even had her children cross out the word fiancé that was on the gravestone.
Mm.
By the way, she's been arrested for petty theft and disturbing a grave.
Well, hell hath no fury like an ex-wife scorned.
Right.
Right? It's sad when the victims figure it out so quickly. I mean, that must mean that you've been holding a big-ass grudge.
Oh, absolutely. Who did it? Oh, Ronnie did it. Ronnie did it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're pretty sure it's Ronnie.
You know, I think we all know somebody who's hung on to a relationship just a little bit too long.
We've all known somebody.
We all know people like this. I think once he's dead and buried, though, maybe you should bury whatever hatchet there is. Or at least forget that the hatchet existed.
Yeah, I would say so. And of all the things to steal, though, why do it from the gravesite?
Easier than breaking into the house?
I guess so. But, you know, you may not believe in spirits or the afterlife, but that is one hornet's nest that I am never going to kick.
Yeah, that's bad juju. Bad mojo.
Nope.
Bad googly moogly. I don't know. I don't
googly
have any
moogly. Yeah.
I don't have any more words for it.
Yeah, it's bad stuff.
Some of the things left at the grave, though. I mean, can we agree that they're maybe a little bit peculiar?
A little bit, yeah. I mean, but that's just it. Like, you
know, $200 pair of sunglasses.
Yeah.
Left at the grave.
Wow.
What is she expecting? Honestly,
maybe they were a gift, but yeah, they're gonna be gone.
Those are walking away in some way.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
I mean, they're not biodegradable. It's
nope.
Not like leaving flowers at a grave where eventually they'll just, you know, get icky and dry up or
yeah.
Whatever. They're sunglasses. They're forever.
They gone. Yeah. Yeah. And you know, and jealousy is just such a bad look on anyone. But don't get the kids involved.
Oh, my God. I
it's
know.
The worst part of this whole thing. Disturbing a grave as a kid. I mean, that is going to haunt you in a big way.
Yeah, that is more than 7 years bad luck.
Oh, way more.
Don't walk under any ladders.
No.
Don't break any mirrors. Don't disturb.
Don't step on any cracks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, most cemeteries have not just against desecration of a grave, but rules about, you know, like what you can leave at a gravesite and what you can't. So chances right. are it's going to end up in a dumpster anyway. Yeah. I mean, I know that's incredibly unromantic of me to say.
But it's the truth.
So when I die,
yeah,
if I die before you,
right,
what would you leave at my grave?
I have no idea. It would probably have to be... I don't know.
Tell you what, just cremate me. Then you don't have to worry about it. You just have to figure out where to put the urn.
That's kind of what I was thinking. It's like, there's going to be a gravesite. And the same thing for me. But if there was, what would you put at my gravesite?
Oh, probably some hot tamales.
Yes. That's a really smart
thing.
And
maybe a Chiefs jersey.
Yeah, maybe I should leave some junior mints for you.
Oh, that would be amazing. But you know, I mean, leaving things at a gravesite isn't like super uncommon or
no.
you know, other than flowers. I mean,
no,
Jewish tradition, you leave a pebble on the headstone.
Right.
But there's like a lot of celebrities.
Yeah, lots of celebrities. Like Jim Morrison has had like a lot of
yeah,
things.
Little shrine there that yeah. people always leave. Bobby Jones, people I think still leave golf balls at Bobby Jones' grave.
Yeah. I was just thinking of like Susan B. Anthony, like very powerful recently.
Yeah.
People putting their I voted stickers
on the 100-year
anniversary of women's
Amazing.
Suffrage. Yeah.
Yeah.
Really, really cool stuff. But yeah, it's definitely a big tradition. When you mentioned the pebbles thing, it made me think of that really powerful moment at the end of Schindler's List when all of the Schindler Jews like came and left a pebble at Schindler's gravesite. Really, really cool. I just wanted to say that really badly.
I wish I could say that I remember that.
It was
part
at
the
very
movie,
end of the movie.
But like, but it sounds like it was a very
it was. And I just,
emotional scene.
When you mentioned it, I was like, oh, I just remember how like
you just
how
get a little verklempt,
that was.
Didn't
I
you?
Was. I how moved I was by it. So it's just yeah, it's really something special.
Well, this is another moving gesture, yeah. right? I mean, Joe DiMaggio
oh,
for
yes.
20 years after Marilyn died, left roses at her grave.
So
three
romantic.
Days a week, even though they'd been long divorced by the yeah. time she passed. So
yeah, really, that's really special to hear about those kinds of things. Definitely.
So roses, good.
Roses, good.
Sunglasses.
Sunglasses, maybe not so much. Unless they're very iconic. Who knows? Maybe it was just they were worn all the time. I don't know. But still, they're going to be gone.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I agree. Arrest her for theft. She did
yeah.
some pretty bad stuff.
Yeah.
But you can't expect that stuff to stay there forever.
No, it's not going to happen. Not
all right, happen. Moving on from clickorlando.com. It all started on election day.
Oh.
Apparently, Florida needed a distraction. Mm-hmm. While millions were out casting our votes, contemporary Christian radio station Z88.3 Orlando began playing Christmas music.
Oh.
That same day, Magic 107.7, an adult contemporary station, announced that it would start playing holiday tunes by the end of the week. And this isn't just happening in O-Town. Z88.3 has sister stations in Daytona, The Villages, Palm Coast, Haines City, Winter Haven, Lakeland, pretty
all
much
over.
All of Central Florida. Yeah. The station's president rationalized the announcement by saying, "This has been a really hard year for so many, and people need to be comforted. We wanted to bring a positive end to a difficult year by spreading Christmas cheer."
Aww.
Corey, your thoughts?
Well, I should preface all this by saying I got no quarrel with Christmas music. But for me, it's more about the time and the place. It's like a week before Christmas? Sure, that makes a lot of sense. All through December? Okay, but maybe kind of pushing it a little bit. First week of November? No way. I know that 2020 has been a rough year, and I know you want to feel happy inside, but would it kill you to play some disco, man?
Oh, yeah,
disco
that gets
music
me in a good mood.
Always gets me in a good mood.
Gloria Gaynor.
Yes.
I will take Gloria Gaynor any
Just
day.
Roll some Bee Gees. Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know my feelings about Christmas music. I mean, I worked retail for way too many years,
yeah.
all through high school, all through college. I pretty much, like, when I hear Christmas music, the hair on the back of my neck raises, especially if I'm in a retail store.
Yeah.
Like, I start to get anxiety. Like, my breathing gets shallow.
Yeah.
I know it's crazy. I know it sounds crazy, but that's just me.
No.
I,
Christmas music has a whole different kind of trigger sometimes for people. It can set you off. I mean, Florida's a little different because Christmas can really sneak up on you.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, I know how you're feeling about this.
Florida, definitely. The Christmas does sneak up on you. I remember probably our first 3 years here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we were like, oh my God, it's December 23rd. We need to buy all the things.
We have to do something. Right? This is what we're used to doing all the time. Right. But it's like, it feels so beautiful out. How can it be Christmas time?
Well, and that's it. If people didn't put up Christmas decorations around here, honestly, you wouldn't know. It's like 85 degrees. We've been to the beach on Christmas before.
Yeah.
How many people do you know who already have their Christmas trees up?
I'm sure that the number is much higher than I think it is. I don't know anybody that I can think of right now, but I bet you I'm wrong.
I can think, first of all, based on my Facebook, I think every single person I've ever met in my life has their Christmas tree up already.
Yeah.
But I can literally think of a dozen people who put theirs up like the second Halloween ended. Like as soon as the kids were in bed, the tree, and I'm not even people with kids, like adults in their 60s. Soon as the Halloween was over, like the clock struck midnight and the tree was up, right? Yep.
Take down the Halloween, take down the Thanksgiving, get them up right away. Now, I mean, if you had to pick, I know your jokey answer was like, you know, right before Christmas, but if you had to pick, what would be your sweet spot for beginning to hear Christmas music?
Oh God, I don't want to hear it anytime before December 1st.
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel about
except, like if I'm watching a Christmas parade or something, then I'm cool with it. But in a retail store or something like that, no way.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's always been Thanksgiving for me. It's like I don't want to hear it before Thanksgiving. It's
the Christmas trees have been up at Home Depot for literally a month and a half.
Yeah, I guess it's a good thing I haven't been to Home Depot. I don't even know why I'm the one making
the Home Depot.
I don't know. That doesn't seem right. No, but it's like I want to listen to Alice's Restaurant on Thanksgiving.
Of course
I want to watch Planes, Trains, and Automobiles on Thanksgiving, you know, and I want to wait and save the Christmassy stuff until right after that. Because that's what, you know, everything kicks off with, you know, the Black Friday and all the stuff that's going on right with that. And that's when it feels like
this year, everybody is just in such a hurry to make the year end.
Yeah.
And I hate to break it to you, but, you know, unless we institute a daylight or a month light saving time.
Yeah.
You're stuck with December still.
Yeah.
Christmas trees aren't going to make it come any faster.
No, not at all.
So a couple of days ago, my mother called me.
Oh, Jan?
Jan called aghast.
What?
She was aghast. I just like
that
word.
She was beside herself.
She was beside herself because one of her neighbors had already put up Christmas lights.
What? You can't see this right now, but I'm clutching my pearls.
This was November 15th. Like, this wasn't even November 1st. This is November 15th. We're like a week early.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Yeah.
And she was freaking out about it.
Yeah.
Because apparently this is serious stuff. The Christmas decorations the neighborhood has
gone
go
right
up.
Down the drain.
Oh, down the drain. There goes the neighborhood. And I will say these are relatively new neighbors.
Oh,
so
well, of course they are. Bringing in all their early Christmas crap in here. Yeah.
They're on her neighborhood fecal roster
now.
Oh,
they are on the fecal roster.
Best Christmas song. Go.
Oh, always my favorite. So I really love the music of Brian Setzer Orchestra when they do with the Christmas stuff. You know that.
I could listen to that all year.
I could. I could. That's
maybe
the only thing that could really get me through.
I could listen to it now.
But growing up, I really loved Blue Christmas by Elvis Presley. I don't know what it was about that. I mean, I grew up a big Elvis fan anyway, so I really liked that one quite a bit, and Santa Bring My Baby Back to Me and all that sort of stuff. But one song that has really crept in and been something that I really love is The Waitress's Christmas Wrapping from the 80s, which I never really thought that much about it. I never thought about it that much, but it's such a great song, and it's one that you hear quite a bit around at Christmas time now, But it's still, you know,
I would say it gets more airplay now than it did 30 years ago.
Oh, completely. Completely. But that's what I love about it. It's like I never even really thought about it, you know, when it was first big or, and all that sort of stuff. It's just, I really like it now. It just sounds so different, so sort of fresh.
And it's a cute little story.
It's adorable.
Too.
It's a little meat cute.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really like it a lot. So what is your favorite Christmas song?
Oh, geez. So, okay. My least favorite Christmas carol, like makes the hair on the back of my neck stand up. I break out into cold sweat. Can't stand it.
Yeah.
Also, my least favorite of all of the childhood Christmas specials is The Little Drummer Boy. But
the Bing big
Crosby and David Bowie singing Little Drummer Boy
is something magical. Yeah.
Magical.
Yeah, it's TV gold, and now you can watch it on YouTube anytime you want to.
It is not Christmas until David Bowie puts on a cardigan sweater and starts singing.
Well, and that's how you know it's good, because you can't stand that song, but you love it when they perform it.
I love David Bowie. Yeah. Come on.
Yeah.
All right. Well, moving on, our next story comes to us from CNN.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, fancy. We big time.
Yeah, we are.
Chris Nikic. I don't know how to pronounce his last name. Sorry, Chris. He crossed the finish line on Saturday at the Ironman Florida competition in Panama City Beach after completing a 2.4-mile swim, 112-mile bike ride, and a full marathon.
Wow.
That made Chris the first person with Down syndrome to complete an Ironman triathlon. He finished the race in 16 hours, 46 minutes, and 9 seconds, just 14 minutes shy of the 17-hour cutoff to complete the race, but that was enough to land him in the Guinness Book of World Records.
Wow.
And let me tell you, it wasn't an easy 16-plus hours. Okay, that's obvious because it's an Ironman.
It's
not
never
supposed
easy,
to be easy.
Right?
But Chris fell off of his bike and was attacked by ants at a nutrition stop, and he still pushed on to make the milestone finish.
Whoa.
The Ironman Triathlon Organization said the accomplishment is a defining moment in Ironman history, and they even streamed the last 2 miles of his run live on their Facebook page.
Wow.
So Chris's new focus is training for the 2022 Special Olympics USA Games. Chris posted to his Instagram, quote, "Time to set a new and bigger goal for 2021.
Oh, that's such a great story.
Right?
I love hearing that.
I
now,
know,
this
it
is,
warms your heart
it
more
really
than
does.
Christmas music.
Way more than Christmas music. This is the salve that you need to get over the 2020 blues. Just recycle this story over and over and over again.
And this and disco.
Yes, that and disco. Definitely that. No, but at the same time, attacked by ants? Give us a break, 2020. Come
seriously.
On, don't attack Chris. He's in the middle of this amazing thing.
Yeah.
And then he gets attacked by fire ants. It's awful.
For those of you who don't live in the South, fire ants are the real deal.
The real deal.
They sent me to the emergency room like they picked me up and drove me
there. I did that.
No, fire ants sent me to the emergency room. I got three stings and ended up in the ER.
Yeah,
bad news.
Yeah, that was crazy. You just went out to cover a story.
My blood pressure was like 6/8.
You made the mistake. You made the awful mistake of wearing flip-flops.
Sandals. Thank you very much. I have a little class.
Sandals, and the fire ants just did a number on you.
They,
I cannot believe
they
it.
They stung my right index toe. You don't really point with it, so you can't call it your pointer toe.
It was scary.
It was scary.
It was maybe borderline one of the more frightening things that we've witnessed together.
So I can't imagine.
No.
In the midst of a triathlon.
Right.
During the bike section, which I believe is the middle section, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
So it's not even like near the finish line. This is probably in like hour 7.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that this happened.
Yeah. He's got like another 10 to go.
Oh, my God. I can't even imagine.
I can't either. Like, I think about like how much it sapped you, how much energy it sapped from you. And it's like, how did he do this? How does he do it just on a good day? You know, besides that, it's crazy.
So we have actually locally, not quite the same thing, but we have kind of an Ironman celebrity in our area.
Yep.
There is a local attorney who is a double amputee.
Yeah.
And he recently, in the last 5 years or so, finished the Hawaii Ironman, which is like the real
deal.
The
granddaddy.
Granddaddy of them all.
Yeah.
It was not on his first try. It was on, I think, his third or fourth try.
Wow.
But finished it. And just what an incredible accomplishment for anyone, let alone somebody with some disadvantages.
Right. Tons of articles. It was a really big deal at the time. And as it should be. It's a big deal.
Yes.
Anytime somebody accomplishes one of these goals. But when you when you have barriers put in front of you that make this so much harder, of course.
So 17-hour cutoff to finish the race.
Yeah.
How long do you think it would take you to do the Ironman?
Oh, should we do like 17 days? I don't even think I could do it by then. Like, I think I may need 17 years. I'm just going all the way to the years.
Like, I could probably do the marathon in 17 hours.
Right.
That's pretty much it.
No. So I have to ask this. You dated a triathlete in the past. So tell us the story about that.
Okay, first of all, triathlete is pushing it.
Oh, I'm giving him triathlete.
He was a person who occasionally participated in triathlons.
He's an athlete participating in triathlons.
Definitely not an Ironman. So, of course, there's triathlons of many, many different lengths. You've
sure.
got Olympic distance. You've got sprint distance. I know way too much about this for just a normal person who gets no exercise.
Hey.
And so he did a few triathlons a year, usually short ones like a half-mile swim,
yep.
a 20-mile bike, and a 5-mile run. You know, something more along those lines,
just
right?
Jump change, apparently.
Jump change,
yeah.
So, you know, one of the really cool things, and you've done 5Ks, I've done 5Ks,
right.
Not quite the same, but
no.
There are folks who hand out water and that sort of thing along
yes.
the course,
yeah.
and they cheer you on.
Yeah.
Even if you're in last place, a position both you and I yeah. have been in 5Ks.
They're still there.
They're still there. They're still clapping and going, yeah, you can do it. Only one more mile.
You're all winners.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's when you feel like you're going to die, it's very encouraging.
It is good.
He hated them.
He did hate it.
Oh, he abhorred it. Because he was not a great athlete.
Yeah.
He was committed to doing it.
Yeah, he just felt sarcasm in all of it.
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
So they would be like, yay, go you. And, you know, he'd be like, do you have any cheeseburgers? I'm sucking wind over here. You got any vodka in those cups? You know, that sort of thing.
That's good stuff.
So it became a running joke that when I would cheer him on at triathlons, because I knew he hated these people so much, I would yell really rude things to him.
Perfect.
So like he'd do the swim and he'd get out. And after the swim, you run to the transition area to get on your bike. And as he was running past, I'd go, hey, Moby, I thought fat floated, you know.
I thought it was Shamu.
Moby, Shamu.
You pick.
Pick a whale, any whale, fudgy, it doesn't matter.
Oh, that's a good one.
I've named every whale I know now.
That's awesome.
So yeah, I would just yell these obnoxious things at me and people would turn and look at me.
Death stares. Stink
appalled.
Eye.
Yes. Oh, the evil
Big
eye.
Big stink eye and evil
and,
eye.
And I'd be like, no. He's not like just some random fat triathlete.
I really know this guy.
Yeah,
he likes it when I do that.
Yeah. Yeah. It didn't work out. Didn't work out well for me, but he would always crack
right.
up, so that was good.
Well, the important thing is that it worked out well for Chris, and I cannot wait to hear what happens with him.
Yeah, nobody was yelling mean things at him on the course.
No,
not at all. Yeah, can't wait to see what happens in 2021
That's
for Chris.
Great. Yeah.
All right, well, our last story comes to us from NewsDaytonaBeach.com.
Okay.
It took 3 years for detectives to crack the case, but Flagler County Sheriff's deputies have solved the case of a missing Fiat in Bunnell, Florida.
All right.
Back in December of 2017, the car's owner, Sean Barnes, reported the theft of his Fiat 500.
Wow.
Barnes said he left the keys in the car and the doors unlocked, and the next morning it was gone.
Oh, no.
And although he was behind on payments, it had not been repossessed.
Okay.
Flash forward to August 2020. a witness called the sheriff's office and said, you know, they were with Barnes when he drove to a boat ramp and pushed the car into a canal in nearby Putnam County for the insurance money.
Well, that seems a little odd.
So divers were sent out to search the canal, and not only did they find the Fiat, but they also found a rock on the accelerator, the keys in the ignition, the transmission in drive, and the steering wheel tied off, presumably to keep the car driving straight.
Oh, boy.
Barnes has been arrested and charged with filing a false insurance claim.
Oh, Sean.
Oh, Sean.
So many cliches and so little time. It's like, I feel like everything about this crime to me feels like amateur hour. How is there a witness? How is there a rock on the accelerator? Like, why couldn't she have just pushed it in?
Well, first of all, Bunnell is very large and there's not a very large population.
Okay.
So probably no Ubers.
Oh, okay. That can throw a big wrench in it.
And probably you're not able to walk home. So
yeah.
You've got to have the eyewitness just to give you a ride.
Yeah, I just need a ride. I'm going to go do this thing. You're not going to see what I do, but then we're going to go. Then you're going to take me home.
But I agree. Amateur hour. Like right now, just thinking off the top of my head, why put a rock on the accelerator?
Yeah.
When you could put a giant block of ice on the accelerator.
Oh, what a
great
idea.
It melts in the water. Come on.
It's foolproof.
Criminal mastermind.
It's like killing somebody with an icicle.
Oh, yeah.
The murder weapon has melted away.
No fingerprints.
No fingerprints. No weapon. No nothing. Oh, it's
criminal mastermind.
That's what it is. It's all those forensic files that you watch. You now understand exactly how to get rid of a car. You know, we don't want to make our insurance people like suspicious of us or anything.
No.
We're not going to be doing any of this stuff right now. But
no, if the Sullivans are listening, we are not.
Yeah, just so you know, these kind of thoughts just come through our heads whenever we see these stories. No, this is crazy. I mean, what was he thinking? What happened? I mean, he almost got away with it. 3 years.
He did. I think he was thinking, wow. I have a Fiat, and I live in a very small town that probably doesn't have any place that will repair my Fiat. Guess I got to get rid of it.
Yeah, I mean, you couldn't just sell it. There's no fix it again, Tonys, in this town, most likely.
That's what Fiat stands
That's
for, right?
That's right, yeah. So I guess that could be a good reason for it. I'm not for sure.
I'm not either. I am not either.
It's just so bad. Oh, Sean. These are the stories that just like, how does this stuff even happen? But it always happens here in Florida.
And again, if it hadn't been for the witness,
yeah,
it would still be down there. Now, do you remember, this happened probably, maybe a year and a half ago. Police found a sunken car because some random person was just messing around on Google Earth and looking at the lake in their neighborhood.
Oh, yeah.
And went, hey, it looks kind of like there's a car under the water on that lake.
Yeah, you could like see like the outline of a car, and he's like zooming in closer. It's like enhance, and he finds
it turned into a CSI episode. Yeah, all of a sudden,
it was incredible.
Yeah, so he called the cops, and the cops ended up going out to the lake, and sure enough, it was a car of somebody who had disappeared many, many years earlier.
Unbelievable.
Who apparently drove into the lake at this, I think, apartment complex or something.
Yeah.
You know, unfortunately, they perished in it. But, you know, just imagine you're looking on Google Earth and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, hey, so I may have stumbled across a watery grave.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, who do you call in that when that situation? I guess you call the authorities. You don't want to call Google Earth. It might take forever to get an answer on that one. No, but it's just it's amazing how technology can work like that sort of thing. And in this case, yeah, nothing.
Not even technology, just eyewitness.
Just some random guy that's like, why am I here? Oh, why are you driving that into the... What's going on there?
So what did we learn this week, Corey?
I learned that no matter how jealous I feel, I ain't taking it out on any gravesite.
Oh,
I don't want that smoke.
Bad mojo. I learned that all I want for Christmas is a little peace and quiet for a few more weeks.
I also learned that even in the most trying of physical events like the Ironman triathlon, Florida ants, man, they will take you down. Now, thank goodness they didn't take down Chris.
Didn't take Chris down.
But they will take some people down.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I learned that if I'm going to commit insurance fraud, I'm going to carefully screen my accomplice first.
Ooh, good idea.
Right?
Make sure that they're the kind of person you can trust.
So those were our freakiest Florida finds for the week. And as always, you can spot plenty of other wacky news stories from across the Sunshine State on our Facebook and Twitter pages.
That's right. And we're excited to announce that you, the audience member, can help us pick Florida's weirdest news stories of 2020. And there are a lot to choose from.
There.
Just visit our Facebook page, facebook.com/FLA Freak Show. Right now, you can vote for the freakiest headlines of January, February, and March.
And while you're there, remember you can also follow us, like us, and share us.
Yep.
Again, that's Facebook at FLA Freak Show. And of course, if you see a Florida story that we missed, you can feel free to share that with us too.
That's true. And don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. And please consider giving us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. You've made it this far. There's got to be some reason why you're still listening to us. So please, please consider giving us that 5-star review.
Groveling.
I am. Those 5-star reviews are a big deal. Until next week, I'm Corey O'Donnell.
And I'm Kirsten O'Donnell. Until we meet again, remember to let your Florida freak flag fly.
Goodbye.